You found the taxi stand hour.
Over.
On Radio TFI.
Well, that cut out quickly. I wasn't ready for it to cut out. Doggone it. That's a good tune. Hey, here we are again on the cab stand, or excuse me, cab stand. I'm renaming the show Taxi Stand Hour. BlogTalkRadio.com. I'm John Shannon, along with my illustrious co-host, Ed Van Ness. The very happy-go-lucky, nothing bugs him, Ed Van Ness. Good morning, sir.
Fuck off.
I love it. I love it, man.
How
you
feeling,
sir?
I am feeling wonderful today. It is a beautiful morning here in South Florida. We had a little cool front come through. We have dry, cool air out there this morning. I am getting ready to run naked up and down my street. It feels so nice.
Oh. Well, thanks for the warning.
if not for this show, I'd be out there right now just enjoying the breeze, as they say.
Well, I am coming to you directly from the taxi studio in, now I'm in Invergrove Heights, Minnesota.
Is that a fact? You're at the remote studio.
Yes, I am, and I love it. You say it doesn't sound so good, but you sound great, and I don't have to worry about waking up the wife and the kids and everybody else, so I might have to find a way to make this work.
Well, what, I don't understand where you are.
I'm in a suburb of St. Paul.
Did the wife kick you out? Is that,
No. I was up. I got up early. I wanted to try to get up and take a call. I didn't. There wasn't much going on until, of course, just right at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock your time. I got a call up in this area that I'm in. Hey, it was worth $28. What the hell, you know?
Oh, you're in the cab right now.
I am in my cab. Yes, I am.
You're doing an actual remote.
Yes.
I see. You're a mobile unit today. Excellent.
That is, I tell you.
The beauty of technology.
I love technology. You know, by the way, you know, in the backstage department here again, you don't hear any echo on when you talk, do you?
No, I do not.
Good. I'm using the as you know, you have the same kind of van. I have the direct connect function on my phone, so I completely hands-free, and it's a beautiful thing.
Excellent.
So, this is, as I understand it now, Ed has been on the dark side for the last 100 days. Am I correct?
Give or take.
And let's review here. We've talked about it in bits and pieces here, but let's talk about what drove you to that side of the fence, if you will.
Okay, so for those of you unaware, a year ago, I owned and operated 12 taxis in the larger fleet here in beautiful Broward County, Florida. Lost all my drivers over time. Between Uber and the way the cab company was behaving, guys are just not cutting anymore. So I slowly but surely had to get rid of cabs. Come January, had a big to-do with the president of the company, and it was mutually agreed that it would be better if I was no longer part of that company, and I did not disagree with the decision. Divested myself of what was left of my cars, kept one for myself, the nicest one, I might add, my 2012 Chrysler Town & Country with leather and power doors. Thank you very much. And January, February being what it is, a busier time here. If there was ever a time I was going to make that move, then that was it. Now, we have to remember, this is coupled with my regulars. And right now, the regulars encompass about 70% of the business that I do. I do Uber and Lyft to fill in the blanks. So there you go. There's the summation.
Oh, and to tell you the truth, you're not the first one I've seen do this. I know a guy I just heard here about 2 weeks ago. You know, a longtime cab driver, been in this business every bit as long as I have. He was a supervisor at one of the bigger companies for a while. I don't know what happened. I can understand why he left the company he left. They're a St. Paul company here that still believes in the old way of doing things, voice dispatch, you know, paying dispatchers under the table and what have you. And so I think he got tired of it and just decided he had enough personal business and he's going to do the same thing. He basically got himself a regular car and doesn't have a van, but he got himself a regular car and he decided to basically start his own car service with Uber and Lyft is just a little bit of fill-in time, like you said.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You have to embrace the dark side.
Well, the sad part about it is, I don't know if you agree with me or not, and we will get back and forth to this interview process as I think of more questions. But one of the things is that if Uber was smart, they would have embraced cabs. They would have embraced the taxi industry. You know, instead of trying to bury it. If they would have first started out and said, hey, you know, we have an idea here. We got technology. We want to offer passengers a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a break on fares, you know, to try to build the business or whatever. Are you in? I'm not saying everybody would do it, but myself, of the mentality that I've always believed that, you know, that 75 to 80% of something is better than 100% of nothing. You know, and I want to keep the wheels rolling all the time. So, they should have embraced the taxi industry. They would have had a lot less grief than they have right now. Do you agree with that point?
I do. I know for a fact that they shunned the taxi industry. Oh, they had a couple of cities. Chicago was one. It might be the last and only one where they had Uber taxi. But I know for a fact our company approached them about, you know, using their system, whatever, however it's going to go. They flat out were told, no. Nope, we're not interested.
And
there are other issues involved in that too. You got to remember about regulations. Not that Uber cares about regulations, but
of course.
But you've got, for instance, the county regulates the rates here in Broward County. So, mm-hmm. You know, there would have been that issue. But again, Uber wasn't interested in that. It's all about world domination and screwing people left, right, and center. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get ahead of the game here?
No, not really. So, okay, so you've been at it now just about 100 days.
Yes, sir.
You've already had run-ins with both Uber and Lyft over certain dumb shit.
There is news on the Lyft front. Ask me all about it.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you got suspended from Lyft for driver safety?
Yes, that's what the original email said. Well, it was all I got out of them. A week ago, last Friday, I tried to sign onto the Lyft platform and I couldn't. It took a day to find out that I had been deactivated off the platform. It took another day or two to find out that I had been deactivated due to driving issues, which I called a big loud BS on. Now you wouldn't know, but you know, I've been involved in 8 accidents over the years, and not one of them has been chargeable to me. I've got a spectacular wow. driving record. Once Lyft told me that I was deactivated, that's it. They wouldn't respond to my emails again. So I was sending the same email every day for a couple days. And yesterday, it was the day I was going to step it up a notch. So I dug up some corporate emails for Lyft, you know, the CEO and all that. And you take a shot. And next week, I was going to start sending hard copy letters out. And basically what I sent was, hey, look, I don't really care about being on your platform. That being said, I'd at least like to know what driving offense, because it doesn't exist, whatever it is. I said, probably you're getting a complaint from someone. And I listed a whole bunch of things like people that want to bring drinks in the car, that group of 8 that I wouldn't carry, mothers bring babies with no car seats, underage riders, unaccompanied minors, underage account holders, and the list went on and on. Well, what do you know? If you slap the CEO's and the CFO's email on an email, guess what happens an hour later? You get a response.
Ah!
Within an hour, the whole thing had been resolved.
So what did they wind up saying the problem with?
Well, here, I'm getting to that.
Okay, man.
That's okay. I know you're excited. Calm down. Stop the car, tap the brakes. Literally, tap the brakes.
I'm sitting still right now.
Excellent. So I'm told, by the way, this is all coming from Jackie. Jackie from Trust and Safety at Uber. And the next email I get tells me that a customer complained about a racially motivated statement that I made. Oh, I flipped at that one. So I wrote her back and I said, absolutely not. I said, I don't know where you're getting your information from. But they wanted me to comment on it. I said, how can I comment on it if you won't tell me what happened? So the next email they sent had a date and a time. And I looked through my trip sheets, because as a good cab driver, I still keep trip sheets. And I was able to pinpoint exactly who it was. It was a 16-year-old African-American boy who got highly irate when I told him I wasn't going to take him by himself. And I put that in the email to Jackie 20 minutes later. Oh, okay. You're back on the system. And where we left it was, I shot an email back to her. I said, okay, Jackie, now what do we do about your massive mishandling of this situation? And come Monday, there's going to be emails and letters going out. Hey, I lost a week off the platform. What are you going to do about this? So that's where that stands. So basically, they took the word of a pissed off 16-year-old without ever checking with me to see what may or may not have occurred.
So was the race card ever dropped in that one?
Oh, absolutely. That's what this kid did. That's what the kid did. He must have sent, when I wouldn't take him, he sent Lyft an email. I don't know exactly what the email said, but you can just imagine. You were a pissed off 16-year-old once, weren't you?
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd been smart enough to call or to contact the safety department or whatever department of the company.
Well, he just wrote the general email. You know, it was probably, hey, man, this guy came and picked me up and he called me.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I will not tolerate that. I have not, do not, and will not take underage riders. And I haven't used any kind of racially motivated language since I was about 11, since about 1972.
Mm.
You know, we all got over that when, you know, we all came to our senses. But anyway, that's where that stands.
So you made me look at a story here real quick, and I won't dwell on this, but I was reading a story here out of Phoenix that's saying
yes.
That you read that, huh? Talking about having
pull it out
a
for the
teen
folks.
Uber. It says here in this from this television station in Arizona that Uber is launching a teen rider program in Arizona. What the fuck are they thinking?
They're not.
I mean, they're already doing it. I mean, teens already have accounts. Mothers and fathers are sending their kids on their accounts. Uber Teens, it's going to be called. Well, there's a real catchy name.
Look at it this way.
They're going to replace the soccer mom, is what it looks like. But that's enough.
Well, you no longer have to wait for your pedophiliac to come along. You just order one right up.
Yeah, I hope that I really do. I mean, you know, here's the thing. You know this isn't going to end well, but yet you pray it does, because you never want to see something that bad happen just to prove your point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to kids. Some adults, well, that's a different story. But okay, so back to the so now you got the Lyft thing resolved.
That's the update.
Who do you think? Well, first off, let me ask: is it as bad as everybody that drives for them says, as far as what you're actually making when you're out there on the? Let's start with the Uber platform.
Both platforms are the same. When you speak of one, except for some minor differences, you're speaking of both of them.
My point being is that on the Lyft platform, at least you can get tips.
Yeah, good luck with
that. Oh, really?
Good luck with that. Some do, but most don't.
So, in other words, that's just a ruse. So that just goes to show, quite frankly, that the primary reason that people are riding with these services is because they're cheap.
Basically, the common thing you hear most often is if you happen to mention the tip to somebody. And this happens, of course, on the Uber app. They'll either say it's included. Isn't it included? Or I'll put the tip on the app. Now, they're full of beans because they know they can't tip on the app. And, at this point, it's been pretty well documented that there's no tips involved in the app. And on the Lyft side, you may not see. I've seen the next day a tip come across. You know, the people don't have to do it immediately. It's just the next time they want to use the app. So I've gotten some very I've gotten some very nice tips on the app on the Lyft side. Interestingly enough, I've gotten better cash tips on the Lyft side than through the app. And look, it's nice to see you check your numbers and, oh, look at that. This guy left me, you know. It's especially nice when you have a minimum ride, which on Lyft is $2.47, to see that, okay, at least they made the effort and left me a couple of $3. Minimum rides are I had the epitome of minimum rides yesterday. To sidetrack here, I picked up a fellow. I just dropped one off. This call was a half a block away from where I dropped off. Okay, so I pick him up. It's literally five blocks to a gas station. He was picking up cigarettes. He says, I need you to wait for me to take me back. I said, that's not going to happen. He says, why not? I said, because I get the same, this was on Uber. I said, I get the same 264, whether I wait for you or not. So I'm going to move on when I'm done with you, when I drop you. Oh, well, I'll order another one and you'll get paid more. I said, you could have made that simpler by just throwing a 5 or 10 over the seat and saying, dude, can you take me back? Instead of trying to negotiate a $3 fare. No.
Yeah.
No.
He wasn't going to do that.
But the point is, that in this case, I could have done his round trip and I never would have exceeded the minimum trip. So it made, you know, it made just as much sense for me to just drop him. You know, see you bye. And anyway, so what's your next question, sir?
My next question is, do you think, from what you've done with Uber and Lyft so far, do you think that you could even make a living doing it if you had no other, if you didn't have your personal business?
I will give you the
stupid question.
No, it's not. It's a very valid question. And it's, I have this conversation virtually every day with people who, let me start by this. People will ask me every day, oh, how long have you been doing Uber? And I'll say 3 months. Oh, really? I was, oh, wait a minute, let me finish. But I was a cab driver for 31 years before that. You know, so, you know, that's just to lay it out that, hey, I've got a little bit of experience here. And then we get into the conversation. And I make it plain to them that, you know, doing Uber and Lyft strictly, you cannot earn a living. There's not enough money to be made. If you look at your average Uber driver, they've bought a new car. They've got car payments. They don't understand maintenance. You are hard pressed with nothing but $3 and $4 jobs that you're running for and you're, you know, waiting on, and you're hard pressed to make any real money. And again, if not for my personal business, which I get full taxi rates on, which is triple the Lyft money, you can't survive. I mean, I've got the advantage of my vehicle is paid for. And I understand that a year and a half, 2 years from now, that vehicle is going to be on the scrap heap. I have no illusion.
Yeah, you're going to have to
trade it in.
Yeah.
Which a lot of Uber Lyft people, they believe, oh, I'll buy a new car and every couple of years I'll trade it in. Well, roll into a dealership with a three-year-old car with 220,000 miles on it. The only question is how long it will take them to laugh you off the lot. You know, and that's what people aren't seeing.
I put on the average of about, and I don't put that many miles on because I don't have to do a bunch of chasing. I'm usually, I'd say 80% of the time, I drop off a call. My next call is only a couple miles away.
Right.
And
well, getting
so
back,
I do very little in dead time. When you say the amount of miles, I put on 50,000 miles per year on my car, and I've been told by multiple people that's
low. It is. We look at about 70,000 to 80,000 a year.
Yeah, and you're obviously getting chased further with these companies with Lyft and Uber than you would be a normal cab, I think, at least.
Well, the average schnook is taken, for instance, let's Uber Pool, which is a big old scam. But that's one thing a lot of the Uber drivers agree on. Nobody wants to take those rides. I was getting offers of Uber Pool last night, 11, 15 minutes away. 5-6 miles. There's not a chance. There's not a chance that I'm, you know, I just let it go by. See, Uber has also learned recently that they cannot deactivate you for not accepting a call. That would make you an employee. So
very good point.
You can let all the calls you want roll. even up to a month or so ago, they would turn you off for a couple of minutes if you missed three in a row. They've even stopped doing that because that's tantamount to saying, well, you have to take a call. Well, then I'm not an independent contractor. But now, like I was saying, a lot of these schnooks will run for all this stuff, not me. I now have, there are certain parts of town I will not work anymore because the rides are too short. It's just not worth it. I have a little spot that I like to go to every day. I've changed up how I worked from the cab side. There's a bunch of hotels that don't get a whole lot of coverage. And that's where I head for now. If I go drop to the airport, I get on the highway and I get back up there in 10 minutes. And to me, it's worth it. Instead of, and plus that's where a lot of my work is based out of. So
yeah.
I only run when it's convenient for me. And there are certain, I'll drive up through Lauderdale Beach and I'll try to get one going my direction, knowing full well it's not going to be worth much of anything. But if it gets me going where I want to be, so be it. I know where all the rides are going from Lauderdale Beach because I used to do them in the cab. And you'd be disappointed in the money in the cab, let alone at one-third the rate. And it's very interesting speaking to people and educating them, as I like to put it, on the insurance and the various scams. I had a gentleman yesterday. As a matter of fact, it was right after the cigarette guy. So he was going to Fort Lauderdale Airport, and we're on this main road, US 1. So common, and the airport is on the same road. Common sense dictates you just stay on the road. And we were chatting, and I explained to him about Uber's scam of showing the customer the high amount that it would cost and showing the driver the low amount. So he wasn't believing it. I said, well, look at your phone and look at the route that Uber had showed you that we were going to take. And he looked at it. He said, well, I'll be a son of a bitch. So that had us going all the way out to the highway and back. I said, there you go. They're showing you X amount of dollars, and they're going to show me less than that. I get paid on the less money, and they keep the difference. And he says, yeah, I agreed to that price, so I'm okay with it. I said, it's not a question of you being okay with it. They're ripping you off. They are telling you that I'm going to take the longer way when, in fact, I'm not. You know,
they're ripping somebody off. They're either ripping the driver off or they're ripping off the passenger.
No, they're doing both at the same time.
There you go.
No. They're very good at this. They find ways to squeeze dollars out where dollars don't exist. Recently here in Broward County, they raised the passenger service fee from $1.70 to $1.90. And, the drivers didn't see any of that.
And I don't see the point in that. I mean, I don't know, man, but it just seems to me that they could print money even if they just charge what they're charging and take 10% of that from the drivers, and they could still print money with that.
They could double the rates.
They're greedy.
Right, they could double the rates, lower the commission, and they'd be doing just fine. But
yeah,
it's all about world domination. And you've got a certain segment of people out there who just don't believe anybody in the service industry should make any money. I had a couple like that the other night. Oh, well, good for Uber. They, they're squeezing every dollar they can out, blah. And this older white couple, affluent, they're telling me about they were riding in a black cab in London. I said, oh, those are my personal heroes. That's the gold standard of my industry. Uber's really screwing them over. I said, yeah, they're screwing everybody. Now, don't you think those guys stand? I mean, you and I know what they go through, and they were very proud that they knew about the knowledge and whatnot. I said, so you're saying it's okay for a company like Uber to just to come in and just knock the living daylights out of these guys? Well, it's competition. Really? Did you enjoy being with this driver who was a professional, knew where he was going, et cetera, et cetera? Oh, yeah, he was great. I said, and how long do you think he's going to last? Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay. And, of course, they get out.
Okay.
And there's no tip. You know, right. I don't know what I'm talking about. So, you know, that's fine. As long as we all agree on that, because I agree with them. Clearly, I don't know what I'm talking about. But you're not going to ask me my favorite color or what kind of tree I would be if I was a tree? Or?
Well, you know what? If it'll make you feel better. What kind of tree would you want to be if you were a tree?
That's a stupid fucking question.
Oh. Well, now you got to answer.
Good grief.
You insisted on me asking, so I got to answer.
I would be the mighty oak, sir. Tall, lean, hard, and round. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Nah, well, I understand that it's not technically a tree, but I think I'd be a cactus.
You know,
I've already been told I'm a prick, so what the hell?
Well, I wish I had my rim shot. Damn it, I hate not having that. Suddenly it's turned into
sorry.
A you thing, hasn't it?
Turns into a what?
All right, we can... It turned into a you thing now instead of being focused on me.
Well, pardon me. Damn, you sound like my ex-wife. anyway.
What we're aiming for here.
So I am curious, though. Now, do you ever, when you're out and about, do you ever see the same Uber driver more than one time? More than once?
Not usually. I mean, I've stumbled across the same guys a couple times, but not usually. I don't know how most of these people work, and you've got a helicopter or something going by there.
I apologize.
No, I don't see them. I don't really look for them. And I tend now to stay away from the areas where most of these knuckleheads would congregate. You know, they go straight for the beach. They don't think, you know, about the business. For instance, this weekend we have the big Air Sea Show. There will be a lot of people along Fort Lauderdale Beach. We have either the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels in town, et cetera, et cetera. And most of these guys will hover near Lauderdale Beach, forgetting that people need rides from the rest of the area. So they will stay on the beach. I will go where the people live, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's the beauty of it. Most of them don't know how to drive. They don't know. They rely on sheer luck.
So in other words, being that you're an experienced cab driver probably gives you a little bit more of a leg up on some of these goofballs, don't you think?
Oh, there's no question it does. I firmly believe that, because I know where to look, when to look. Look, sometimes it's all about dumb luck. We all know that, you know.
Sure.
You know, you never know when you're going to stumble upon something and, you know, Let's face it, every good ride any of us have ever had was just dumb luck. You know, most of your job occurs when there's nobody in the cab.
Mm-hmm.
I did see the other day. I saw a young man with a Virginia license plate with the Uber stickers all over his car.
Now, so I thought that these Uber cars had to be registered within the city by the individual city. Well, that kind of abolished in Florida, but that still should
It still has to be the state.
Yeah.
It still has. Yeah. No, you're not wrong about that. It's just that nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
No. Here, this is the one I've been throwing on people lately. If this comes up, and we're talking about safety in the car, and I'll say, well, you didn't look at my license plate, did you? No, but I saw it was a white van. I said, oh, that's great. I said, you know, I have another one that looks just like this at home. Exactly like this. It's a Dodge and not a Chrysler, but it with the same decals on the side and everything. You know, I have the no smoking decals, no food. I said, you wouldn't know the difference between the two of them if I parked them next to each other. I said, please don't talk to me about safety if you're not going to take the most basic. You know, on the app, it gives you my name and make and model of my car and my tag number. If you're not at least going to check that, then, you know, you've got no right to complain about anything. So
looking at this objectively, taking apart, if you can, set aside the whole thing, what Uber and Lyft have done to our industry. Set aside the shit for prices that these drivers are getting. Do you think that the idea of Uber is a good idea? The idea to be able to just be able to pull out your app and get a cab, get a ride. Prefer it should have been a cab, but is it a good idea?
The idea of, yes, the simple answer, the short answer is yes. The idea of being able to step off a plane in Dallas, Dubuque, Detroit, or Des Moines and not have to sort through 57 different apps is a wonderful idea. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The taxi industry, and we've discussed this in the past, will never come to that because A, local regulations, and B, too many people out there wanting to do it, that's fine. I'll be a part of it as long as it's my app. You know, the best the taxi industry can hope for is regional. That's the best. Is it a good idea? Of course it's a good idea. People, look, as I like to explain to people, Yellow Cab had an app long before Uber existed, but nobody wanted to use it. It wasn't until Uber popularized it, everybody wants to use the app now. You know, and honestly, you can't blame the Yellow Cab of Broward for that. They had it. It was there. It's a good idea in and of itself. One, recognizable app that everybody knows how to use. It's perfect. Just on that level alone, yes, it's a wonderful idea. Without going off on the whole innovative blah, blah, blah thing. Of course, it's simple that way. Why wouldn't you want it? There's one post office. You know, and it's much simpler to know that, of course, it's difficult to say that without remembering how many laws were broken to do this, how many laws were ignored to just, you know, set this up.
I want to step out of that for just a second. Because
sure.
that brings me to a good point here that I saw a couple of days ago. You understand, you know now that the Department of Justice is looking into the whole gray ball thing?
Yes.
That's going to be huge. If
mm-hmm.
if the Department of Justice discovers and finds wrongdoing here, which unless they're just totally blind and have no sense of smell or anything else, they have a serious case. Now, whether they decide to pursue the case or whether or not Travis digs in for some more Saudi money and pays them off. This could be the tipping point.
You could be right.
And and the thing is, one of the things I don't know. I think I put a tweet up to this. I'm going to be on a local radio show this next week sometime. They haven't set the date yet. It's not a big radio. It's not the big mighty news talk station, but it's a progressive. It's a progressive talk station where the guy.
Not like us. Not like this.
No, not big time. We definitely have more listeners than they do, I think.
We're big. Speaking of which, very briefly, I want to play Jeopardy with you. Okay, I'm gonna give you an answer. You give me the question. Are you ready?
Okay.
213-943-3587.
Well, damn, that would be our guest call-in number.
Thank you. So anyway.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't put it into a form of a question.
My bad. You're a loser.
Yeah, well, that's what my wife told me too. So, but no, I'm going on this show. The host owes me one. I saved him from an ass kicking from some biker guy back about 6 years ago. Who's going to come out to the radio station and basically wait for him to come out. And cool. I agreed to come out there. Yeah. Yeah. So he owes me a favor. And I have been harping like you wouldn't believe on the hypocrisy of progressives who think it's perfectly okay to call yourself a progressive and be all in favor for $15 an hour minimum wage and blah, blah, blah. But yet think it's perfectly okay for Uber to not only upend the taxi industry, but also pay their drivers next to nothing. So anyways, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going on this show, and the city councilman in Minneapolis that brought, who was the big champion for Uber, a guy by the name of Jacob Fry. I think I've told you about this. He's running for mayor of Minneapolis. And this radio station does have a pretty good base of progressive listeners here. And I'm going to hammer home every possible point I can.
What's the call letters of the station?
What the hell are they? They go by AM 950. Their app is AM 950 Radio, I believe, is their website and app, and it's called the Matt McNeil Show. So, and I haven't got a date. He said sometime this week. So we'll definitely see. And I'm going to be very honest with this. You know, I don't know how much time I'm going to have with him, but. For him to just come out and say that we're going to do this, I'm assuming I'm going to have a good chunk of the show.
Right.
So
John,
I'm going to go into it.
Don't forget. While you're there, steal some microphones.
Nah. Why would I want to do that?
Or at the very least, some headphones.
Well, there you go. Something better than the one I was using that was cutting out all the time.
That's right. Well, enough about me for now. We'll continue the Ed saga some other time. There was a little thing that happened this week. I don't know. It had something to do with medicine. Are you familiar with that?
I am very familiar with that. I got to tell
Boy, you're testing the limits of my medication. I think that's hilarious.
I love Foghorn Leghorn, by the way. I love that. That was great.
I was starting to tell you off air. I had Foghorn Leghorn in my head this week with all this, with all the bluster and all that with Trump. And I was looking for a decent image of him, and I came across, you know, this is one of his many quotes. And I said, oh, this one is just perfect. This is perfect. One was actually in the cartoons. Oh, man, you just, it was just like it laid it out to me. The thing created itself this week. It was, and I always, as a kid, I loved that. Love that big old bluster. Oh, boy. I said, oh, boy.
You couldn't talk like that nowadays in cartoons.
Oh, no. But
yeah, you couldn't.
But
seriously.
So now we've created,
we are so PC right now. Sorry for getting off track. We are so PC right now.
Okay.
Cartoon characters like Foghorn, Leghorn, and other, hell, even Bugs Bunny would probably not even survive in today's world.
Bugs Bunny is my hero. He is the world's greatest smartass.
Okay, exactly. But today's world isn't ready for Bugs Bunny anymore. Instead, we're chasing around Pokemon.
Well, you know, get hip, dude. That ended already.
Yeah.
The Pokemon.
Yeah, no, I know. That didn't take long, thank God.
Anyway,
so who do you think this is more on? Do you think this is more on Trump, or do you think it's on these fucking Republicans? That was their chief goal. That was their accomplishment, that they were going to. They didn't do it for any other reason than to just undermine President Obama.
And unintentionally there, John, you nailed the word moron. Let's face it. Let's look at the reality of this. And I'm not going to take credit for this, but somebody put that obscene display, that celebration in the Rose Garden the other day, as celebrating after the first inning of a baseball game. You haven't won anything yet. But they're taking the opportunity now because it's highly unlikely it's going to make its way through the hurdles. It's got to go through the Senate, back through the House and Senate again before Trump gets his mitts on it. And it's highly unlikely.
I don't think it's going to happen either, but I think that we all kind of got a little blindsided because it went down in a flaming heap the last time, and I didn't think they'd take another run at it. I don't think anybody thought they were really going to take another run at it. You know, Trump said just right after it, he says, well, I'm moving on to the tax relief. I'm moving on to other things.
Right. They came back to tax relief. If you're a billionaire, this includes much tax relief.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's highly likely
to benefit himself.
Yep. It seems more likely that all this is done is said, okay, in 2018, we're going to have sweeping changes in the House of Representatives, in Congress there, because, you look at all those white faces that were in that Rose Garden, and believe me, don't think that picture is not going to be circulating next November. In districts all across this great land of ours. I watched the video on Twitter last night. It was very moving, very touching. A woman who was a rape survivor. She said, well, you know, I guess rape is a pre-existing condition. She was raped a year ago. Her 2.5-year-old daughter was there, witnessed the whole thing. They've both been in therapy. She says likely she's going to lose her. If this goes through, she loses her therapy. But the guy that raped her still gets health care in prison and will get health care for the rest of his life.
Of course.
You know, and this is what we're looking at now. And all this is going to mean really is there's going to be such an upsurge in ER visits, because that's what people will have to now use as their primary physician.
That's what it was before the ACA,
right.
That's exactly what it is.
Right. Right. And, you know, look, I fall right into that boat. If not for the fact that if my condition is not an emergency situation, and even though I got out of the hospital and was a month or so later, it was 2 months after the initial event, or a month and a half, till I had my surgery. The surgery was part of stabilizing me, so by law they had to do it. But otherwise, I'm a dead man, literally a dead man right now. You know.
I totally get it.
You know, and that until we go to a single payer, there really is no other way around this right now. Like it or not,
Well, we have to. You have to keep for-profit entities out of the healthcare market.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. These insurance
companies. That's not where you make money.
No. The insurance companies, the pharmaceuticals, the these conglomerate health plans or health providers, I should say. We've got three or four networks here in Minnesota now. You either have Park Nicollet. I don't expect you to understand who these are. You have Fairview. You have Health Partners. And Allina. And there are no such things as independent doctors around here anymore. If they are, they're quacks. And that's how it is. It's all corporate medicine.
Yeah.
And this bill did this. Whatever they're ramming down our throats now or trying to, does nothing to address the problem with corporate medicine whatsoever. Matter of fact, it enhances it.
Did you see where Trump was talking to the Australian Prime Minister?
I did.
And said to him, "You did or you did not?"
I did.
Oh yeah. Oh, your healthcare is. Yeah, your healthcare is much better than ours. Yeah, they have single payer.
Exactly.
One of these days,
you're not going to
will
get better. It's not going to get any better without single payer. Plain and simple.
No. It can't.
The ACA was okay. The ACA was okay, but it still kowtowed to the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. No, it's got to go. Look. For this country to truly move on, we've got to start looking at some of our friends across the oceans who don't live life dog eat dog. I mean, most European countries, their workers get 4 to 6 weeks holiday time every year. They have single payer insurance. Are they perfect systems? Absolutely not. But it says, look, we're looking out for your quality of life too. It's not just about, you know, us running for office, but here, you take a little time off every year, and it's all combined. You're a little bit more relaxed. Maybe your health is a little better, and this is just the norm, and people don't think twice about it. And here we are. People are lucky if they take a day off every 6 months to try to keep up with all of this nonsense. And it's we're supposed to be the most the best nation on the planet. I mean, I think we are, but you know, we've got all the best stuff.
Not when it comes to healthcare, we're not.
No. Oh no.
Not when it comes to life expectancy anymore.
No.
We're about. Aren't we about like 20th or 25th as far as life expectancy?
I don't know. John, I'm going to be quite honest with you when it comes to. When it comes to life expectancy, I'm only worried about one person.
Oh, yeah. You're right. No, I totally get that.
How long you live really is a little concern to me.
Oh, come on. You'd miss me if I was gone. Don't give me that bullshit.
You're right. So why don't you give me the opportunity? Ow!
Oh, man.
You walked into it, my friend. Fun. You walked right into it.
Oh, of course. I always do. I always do. You know, good Lord. So I was just, I want to look at a couple of things here that came across the old wire at me. Again, I was pretty busy on the old on the old social media platform. By the way, you can also go to our Twitter feed, which is Taxi Stand Hour, at Taxi Stand Hour. Set up a Facebook group if you haven't already done so. Join us there. It's called the Taxi Stand Hour on Blog Talk Radio. And plus, there's also a lot of other good sources for getting information on this. Going to Who's Driving You? What is it? .com or .net or something like that?
I think it's .com.
I think it's .. Yeah, I think you're right. Another Facebook group, again, is one of my favorites, is the Worldwide Anti-Uber Society. You know, Sean and some of the other guys there do a great job of keeping stories up. He's another one that's pretty good about as far as images and photoshopping and putting fun stuff up there.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, most of the people that we follow on Twitter – on not only the Taxi Stand Hour page, but our individual pages at the Shannon Files and at TFI Taxi, we are following a whole mess of people in the taxi industry, concerned with the whole TNC issue, and everything we talk about. We are following numerous people. So come for
these
our individual pages.
Man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just to finish up, John's become quite the little social media maven here lately. My phone is exploding every day with things that he's posting, and I can't hardly keep up with him. He's he's a young man, and I'm not a young man anymore. I'm much older than he is, and it's difficult for me to keep up with all the social media on the interweb, and I have to change the cathode ray tubes in my phone so often. Oh, it's just not easy. But see that.
Anyways, by the way, it's whosdrivingyou.org is the website.
That's what we said.
Yeah, exactly. So he posted there a update Uber Summer and Sexual Assault. This was put up on May 5th, and as he says, it's happening again. And there have been numerous reports of sexual assault, inappropriate behavior with Uber drivers. And these, as far as I'm looking here, this is all here in this country. I mean, remember in London there they were going through where they had in 1 year had over 250 sexual assaults. Well, now we are just here. Now these are three from the time span of the 20th to the 25th. Really quick here because we got about 90 seconds to go. Just a week ago or a little over a week ago, an Uber driver driving under a fake name in court for an alleged sexual assault of a Boston College student. On the 22nd, an alleged sexual Uber driver allegedly sexually assaults a woman passenger in Akron, Ohio. The victim, who had been drinking, reportedly awoke to find the driver sexually assaulting her. And Female University of Kentucky student reports that sexual abuse by an Uber driver. Going into the details. That's why I hardly report that stuff anymore, because it happens so damn frequently. It's not new. It's sad. It's not news.
It is.
It's commonplace, man. So why don't we hit the end tag here? You got it on your end. Do you want me to get it?
It's playing.
I barely hear it. Crank that bitch up.
Say goodbye, John.
You talk too much.
Say goodbye, Ed.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us here on the Taxi Stand Hour on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you. We'll hear you. Adios.
See ya.